Let's start at the start. Now, did I dusted off my original Blu-ray for this from when it came out?
Yep.
Okay. And my God, did you guys have that Blu-ray? And if so, did you watch it?
No, yes. I have the Second Sight 4K that came out like 2 years ago. That.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna keep renting this on Amazon like a fucking idiot. How about that? What if I do that forever and never buy one of my favorite movies?
I brought this up because there are insane trailers before.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, shit. Little unofficial VHS or Blu-ray trailer game here?
Yeah,
dude?
But I didn't think of it any clues, so I'm just going to tell you what they are.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Yes. Oh, my God. Scorpion King 4. Oh. Sure. Colon, Quest for Power.
Oh, dude, that's your uncle's collectible plates in the hutch kind of title right yes, there.
Original title on IMDb says The Scorpion King, Colon, The Lost Throne, and it stars... No one
is excellent.
Wait, Randy Couture is not even in there because I think he takes over.
Actually, the mantle. I spoke too soon. I'm scrolling down. There are some big names in this: Barry Bostwick, Rutger Hauer, M. Emmett Walsh.
Excuse me,
Michael Bean. Looking for the Scorpion King. Excuse me, Scorpion King.
Well, I thought this was a bum hand, but it's all aces.
Well, hold on,
if it's Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, you're right. All aces, Lou Ferrigno. Five aces.
Is the tag or log line that the Scorpion King goes to Alabama? What the fuck are Barry Bostwick and M. Emmett Walsh doing in a Scorpion King movie?
I do not know, but it looked very sandy and sandily.
Yeah, you got to be careful. The Pharaoh hasn't given us enough grain for the harvest. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We're putting the Scorpion King on trial down here. Seems he was drunk driving. And force a little girl ride her bike off a bridge.
Oh, I should turn him into a scarab, don't you know? Now I'm just skittering all about. I'm going to get under your skin.
Looks like we're going to have to do that as an episode. There are two more secret movies here.
Yes, please.
Okay, there's one. It's a 2014 Jeremy Renner film where he plays a journalist, kind of like a drama thriller thing.
What's that called?
Kill the Messenger.
Okay, nope. I remember that coming out.
I think
yes.
That's about the guy who published work about the Iran-Contra was the one who broke that story.
Yes, okay. I think you might be right. Some CIA crap. Anyway, speaking of alphabet soup. And the other one is a cheeky British comedy about getting married and traveling to Australia so Rebel Wilson can be in the movie.
Oh, wow. No
2011,
clue.
A Few Best Men.
Oh, wow. That's a terrible title.
It looked like one. The worst trailer I've ever seen. like American Pie runoff.
That's awesome, dude.
Because I think that's what's sort of cool about this movie is it should sort of be nothing. Like, it's a true cult classic insofar as this movie was made for $5 million. Dan Stevens
was you're not talking about A Few Best Men, right?
No. I'm not talking about
I'm also talking about Scorpion King 4, Search for the Missing Cadillac or whatever that was.
Now, where are those keys?
Well, Scorpion King, it's me, Barry Bostwick. I'll need my Cadillac keys back.
Yeah, he's the corrupt judge, definitely.
Yeah. The rich one. Whoever is, he's funding the thing.
But it's this nothing movie that, like, you know what I mean? Your Next was a cool, like, you know, definitely in the, you know, Next Fest kind of world of like, oh, this is cool late night movie. And this, I mean, again, like, it made noise for people like us, but I don't think a lot of people saw it at the time. And, like, it's had this reputation enough, obviously, so they're making this weirdo sequel to it.
Cult classic.
Well, they call it an instant cult classic.
I think this is actually one of those movies that fits the criteria to be an actual cult classic. Like, we love saying that. That gets thrown around so much for, like, shit that'll be out for 2 weeks. They're like, the next cult classic is here. And it's like, that's not how this works necessarily. This is, we're a decade out from this. It made fucking no money, no splash. Nobody cared. And it has, over the decade plus now, 12 years on now?
Yeah.
It has found that audience. This is what a cult classic is, folks.
And also, I think this is what gives Dan Stevens his career.
Yep.
This is the thing that is like, he can carry a movie. Even if he's a villain in the movie, like, he can do it. He has that kind of charisma. And
I would say made him gave him a movie career, of course. He blew up because he was on Downton Abbey.
You know what a great villain role? It was him in The Call of the Wild, Chris, with Harrison Ford.
Oh, is he the bad guy in that movie?
Yes, yeah. That CGI dog had it coming, IMO.
Apparently, he was he had to gain all this weight for this movie because he was emaciated in the movie. And this, I'm going to ask Neeson expert Eric Siska, because he's somehow emaciated in the movie A Walk Among the Tombstones.
Oh, my God. That was a...
That's a bad one.
Yeah, dude, I fell asleep to that movie. I really don't remember. Got it.
Yeah. But his known for on IMDb, it's just Downton Abbey, The Guest, and that Beauty and the Beast movie. Because again, like he's,
oof.
I love the guy. He's in a lot of stuff that I like, but he's never like really broken through. That movie, The Ritual, The Ritual is pretty cool. Or The Rite, maybe? What is it called?
Oh, is he some sort of possession movie and he's like a priest or some such?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You have the right to remain possessed.
Apostle is the movie I'm thinking of.
The Netflix movie. That wasn't bad. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, that's the thing is the guy who just works. Like that's he just shows up in so much shit now. And like most of it is passable, but just passable. It's nothing is as exciting as this is. This is an exciting movie.
Well, because also this is a Dan Stevens movie, which is something that doesn't super exist, really. Like, I'm trying to find it now. He was in that movie where he plays, like, a mail-order robot, basically. It was a German movie.
Oh, and he's no. I'm Your like, Man?
Yes, a good memory, yes. Which, it's not a terrible movie. And he's, like, it's like a two-hander. But a lot of them, just looking at bigger stuff that he's been in, right? Like Abigail, that's a big cast. Cuckoo, he's like a smallerish cast. He's like kind of just the villain in it or whatever. And then those Kong movies, he's like the weed smoking dude who's helping Kong with his bowling arm or something.
He's Trapper. Look out for Trapper.
Trapper, that's right.
He's very fun in those movies, but that's a very much Poochie type of character.
Yes. Yeah, big time.
But this movie was like made in the lab. I think Adam Wingard is like a year older than us, born in 82. It's a movie made in a lab for me, for the four people on this show. Right? You know what I mean? Like it's so Carpenter heavy. It's so
yes.
But and I was talking to my wife about it last night. And she made a really good point. My wife Jen, it's better than something like, and I do really like The End of Oak Street. But an issue with that movie is that it's leaning on the eight. It's set in the 80s and using 80s nostalgia as opposed to this, which is using 80s nostalgia and moving it to the present day. And I think that creates a tension that is much more memorable and interesting.
Right. And sort of also does that with that soundtrack you mentioned, right? It's like electro. So it sounds sort of 80s, but it's not.
He had to dig through God knows how much YouTube pages to find John Carpenter songs that are not made by John Carpenter.
Yes.
Like, he just had to dig. And then he did it. He did all the work. I really do applaud. And also for having Sisters of Mercy, I think, is on for a little bit.
Yep.
I was happy to hear that.
Yeah, no, these opening titles, like first, second, I mean, it's like one shot, maybe I'm reaching, but the shot of the jack-o'-lantern head scarecrow gave me vibes of Halloween 4's opening, because if you remember, the opening of that is just the static shots of like scarecrows and things of that nature around the town.
I mean, the Halloween stuff is all over this movie, specifically even like really heavily with the Season of the Witch stuff at the end, which is pretty cool if you can catch it. You miss it, but it's really there.
It's an awesome shot. Yeah.
And the sheets in the sheets that are drying, the white sheets, like he's like the shape as a super soldier.
Well, because this movie, the logline could be, what if Michael Myers tried to be a good guy? Because that's kind of what this is. Like,
right, yeah.
That's kind of the funny part about the movie is he literally, David, like you're like, oh, the movie is like, is he evil? Is he not evil? He is. But he's literally trying to help this family, but he can't because he's so fucked in the head.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I'm helping, like a little kid making mom breakfast on Mother's Day. It's good intention, but like, you're fucking like killing Leland Orser's boss in a fake murder suicide so this loser can get a promotion.
I'm sure like Ted Kaczynski thought he was helping out too.
Exactly right. But yeah, this is, we meet the Peterson clan here after the awesome opening of just him just running.
Yep.
With his big fucking army bag just running, and you just see the great title card of The Guest come up. Pretty sweet. But yeah, aforementioned Leland Orser as Mr. Peterson here. We got Sheila Kelly from Singles, among other things, is the mom. And then later in the movie, of course, what's her name? Micah Monroe, horror queen of the present era, I guess you'd call her.
And I love the mom. She's got this great twitchy, like, vulnerability to her. Like, and it was a really good emotional anchor. Like, her, this first scene when he comes upon her could be a little short movie. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And he, so he does. He rolls up at the door here. They have an older child who's KIA in the Middle East. And here is Dan Stevens claiming that he is this guy, David, who was in the unit and was good friends. And he's doing the old, I was with him when he died, and these are his final wishes to all of you. Oh, my God. Deal.
Now, here's a question for the room. At what point do you take down the dead son altar?
I mean, not a year later, that's for sure. Yeah,
you want to keep it up for longer?
It's not like a birthday card from your mom who's still living where you're like, it's 6 weeks, it's going in the
so
garbage.
So dour. Like, if I'm having a cheeky laugh at the Tonight Show, I look up and see the dead son memorial. That's kind of not fun.
Well, you put it out of the way, you know?
Yeah, you cover it with like a blanket at night or something.
Well, it's not like a bird cage. Time to go to sleep, death altar.
Oh, you're like, you're tucking him in, Caleb, it's time for bed.
Oh, no.
It's the only way he knows to go to sleep is when the blanket's over there.
But this is also, I mean, right away, lady, like, I'm, you know, sorry for your loss and thank him for his sacrifice and this, that, and the other thing. This dude, you live in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, wherever this is. This dude says to you that he ran from the bus station. Like, you know how far that bus station is from your house. Instant psycho alarm bells have to be going off right now.
Yeah. He's not pushing too much. That's the thing, is that they are inviting all of this on because, like, it's the ghost of their kid, essentially. But, like, I if you were thinking for a moment, if they were, like, able to get out of their grief for a second, you'd be like, oh no, the Holiday Inn is actually 3 miles down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
They always have a vacancy. It's always vacancy.
You know what? The manager goes to our church. I'll call Todd and see if we can get a military discount or something.
And that's the move. It's like, go to the Holiday Inn, and you know what? Tomorrow we'll all come over for a family dinner. We'll cook your mom's favorite chicken or whatever it is, and that's going to be the end of the interaction.
Now, this is the argument for trashing all your dead son's stuff and moving on with your life, is because now everyone knows you got this free bedroom just sitting there.
She does a good old fashioned, if you could excuse, he tells her the story of how her son dies, like, excuse me, I need to cry in the laundry room. I need to have a loud cry in the laundry room.
Oh, the old turn the washing machine on while I weep into my hands and my face. Yes,
that's great.
Is there a louder, a more rumbling level you could put your washer on?
I set the washer to weeping.
Yes. Excuse me, do you want margaritas? Why, yes, I would. And she puts all this ice in the blender and is like crying before margaritas as opposed to crying after.
Would you mind if I just went out and mowed my back lawn for a quick second? If you liked what you just heard and you want to get the rest of this episode, head on over to patreon.com/wehatemovies, where not only can you instantly unlock the rest of this fine program, you also get yourself access to hours upon hours of exclusive shows and commentaries you cannot get anywhere else. That's patreon.com/wehatemovies.